From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
Thank you, Andrew. Assalamu alaikum, regulators, industry practitioners, delegates, and colleagues. It is great seeing so many Islamic sustainable finance practitioners come together to discuss where we are now and where we are heading. We have seen considerable growth and development in Islamic sustainable finance this past year. Earlier this morning, we heard valuable insights from the executive chairman of the SC. What stood out to me most was the development of the guiding principles on Maqasid Sharia, and as well as the launch of the Islamic Social Exchange. I think especially in sustainable finance, it's great to see the headspace that regulators are in. We've also heard some discussions from our first panel about the role of policy, regulation, and innovation in driving the equitable transition to low carbon. Now, in the past year, probably the three biggest trends we've seen in Islamic sustainable finance is the issuance of sustainable finance regulations, both regionally and internationally, which our first panel touched on a little. We've also seen the growth of Islamic voluntary carbon markets, or VCMs. Additionally, we've seen a number of sustainable finance deals, both in sustainable issuances as well as sustainability-linked issuances. Now, our first panel talked about policy and regulation, so I won't rehash what has already been discussed. I'll just highlight some extremely important developments. In June this year, we saw the long-awaited issuance of the ISSB sustainability standards by the IFRS. Now, these standards are currently voluntary, but they may become mandatory as the regulatory landscape evolves in specific regions. Now, prior to the issuance of these standards, the SC set up a national-level advisory committee to aid and assist the implementation of these standards in Malaysia. In lockstep, we have also seen development in regulations on the naming of Islamic sustainable finance funds. Earlier this year, the SC issued new guidelines on the regulation to implement the implementation of the ASEAN sustainable and responsible fund standards in Malaysia. Now, alongside that, the European Markets Authority and the UK's Financial Conduct Authority also closed their consultation periods for their guidelines for naming of funds with ESG or sustainability-related terms. Now, this is likely in a move to combat greenwashing. There are several markets that have relatively well-developed Islamic capital markets. However, their sustainable sukuk regulations are still fledgling. Now, this year we've seen some updates in this space. The Pakistani government, which is a regular issuer of Sukuk, hired an Islamic bank to advise on the structuring and issuance of a green Sukuk. Now, this Sukuk will be the first sovereign green Sukuk coming out of Pakistan. Just last month, the government of Bangladesh eased its rules on social impact Sukuk, allowing for the secondary market trading of it at a negotiated price. Bangladesh, which has one green sukuk under its belt in the private market, is also looking to issue its debut green sukuk on the sovereign side of things. It is looking to learn from the likes of Indonesia in structuring its green sukuk, and notably, I know the IFC is in the room with us. The IFC is also working on developing Bangladesh's sukuk market, so that's a very exciting space to look out for. And Indonesia, which is probably one of the most celebrated sustainable sukuk issuer, is also looking to expand its offering. It's hoping to modify its existing regulations to allow for the issuance of its flagship sustainability sukuk, the cash wakaf linked sukuk, in foreign denominations. Now, this will allow it to attract foreign investment to develop its Wakaf assets. Now, these are just a few of the updates in the regulations on Islamic sustainable finance this year. The development of the VCM space is probably the most exciting one that we've seen this past year. We've seen players from multiple jurisdictions coming in. What is particularly exciting about VCMs is the possibility of using carbon credits as underlying assets for Islamic finance transactions. Now, this would provide an alternative to the currently dominant underlying assets, which aren't necessarily very sustainable, including crude palm oil. Now, in March this year, BCX under Bursa Malaysia held its inaugural carbon exchange. It sold 150,000 Vera registered carbon credits. This follows the launch of the exchange late last year as the world's first Sharia-compliant VCM. Just last week, in another development, we saw the launch of the BCX trading platform. We may even see a sophomore auction from the exchange this year introducing Malaysia-generated carbon credits in Malaysia. In Saudi Arabia, which is another major player in Islamic finance, we saw the regional VCM company, or the RVCMC, hold its sophomore carbon auction, and it sold 2.2 million tons of carbon credits in the largest ever carbon credit auction. Now, this is owned by the Saudi Public Investment Fund and the Tadawul Group. The RVCMC secured the first ever fatwa to use carbon credits as underlying assets for Islamic finance transactions on the sidelines of the COP27 last year. As of now, it has two fatwas. One from the ITFC, the trade finance arm of the Islamic Development Bank, and one from the Saudi National Bank for Murabaha and Tawaruk-based transactions. Now, in a major upcoming development, the RVCMC is expecting to facilitate the first ever Islamic finance facility with carbon credits as underlying assets alongside the ITFC this year. Back in the neighborhood, again, just last week, we saw Indonesia launch its carbon exchange, the IDX Carbon. It also held its inaugural carbon trading. The auction sold 13 carbon credits, equating to nearly 460 metric tons of CO2 equivalent. This auction follows the issuance of the country's carbon trading rules in August this year. While the exchange is not Sharia compliant at the moment, the OJK has confirmed that it may look at Sharia compliance in the long run. Now, while these developments are extremely exciting, it's important to note that carbon offsetting is not the solution, the full solution to sustainability. Many have voiced skepticism on carbon offsetting, arguing that they may just be enabling non-sustainable activities, right? The space has also seen skepticism as to the integrity and validity of carbon credits. Do carbon credits accurately represent the carbon reduction outcomes of their underlying carbon offset projects? These are important questions. And we will likely see the public debate on these issues continue to unfold as the space matures. On the deal side of the equation, we've seen a number of really exciting sustainable issuances this year, as well as a few firsts. A few Islamic banks have issued sustainable sukuk, with First Abu Dhabi Bank issuing the UAE's first AED-denominated sustainable sukuk worth $353.9 million. Al Rajhi Bank also issued its $1 billion debut sustainable dollar sukuk. In addition to banks issuing sustainable sukuk, with the likes of Dubai Islamic Bank and SME Bank here in Malaysia returning to the market, we are also seeing interesting sustainable issuances to finance real estate projects. Aldar Investment Properties, a real estate and investment company based in Abu Dhabi, issued its debut green sukuk worth $500 million this year. In Malaysia, the Sime Darby Property Sukuk and the UDA Holding Sukuk are noteworthy. Sime Darby Properties, which is a regular sukuk issuer, recently included a 200 million ringgit debut sustainable tranche under its most recent 600 million sukuk issuance. The proceeds from the debut sustainable tranche will contribute to funding its sustainable real estate portfolio. In May this year, UDA Holdings issued its debut sukuk worth 500 million ringgit. The sukuk will fund wakaf projects. These are residential projects and housing projects on wakaf land. Now, this issuance is particularly interesting and arguably the most notable of the ones that I've highlighted because sukuk wakaf is very much nascent in Malaysia. This year, we have also seen a number of Islamic tranches in larger sustainable deals, particularly coming out of the GCC under the Saudi Vision 2030 and similar initiatives. These projects include a number of project financings under Saudi Arabia's NEOM Sustainable Mega Project, as well as broader clean energy projects from the likes of Aqua Power, Rawabi Energy, Taqa, and Masdar. We've also seen more sustainable finance facilities financing conventional debt, so basically restructuring conventional facilities into Islamic under the sustainable label. So these include the Solar Park Surya Sungai Petani Sukuk, as well as the Majid Al Futaim issuance. Additionally, we are also seeing issuers with existing sukuk programs modify their programs to allow for the issuance of sustainability sukuk. Malaysia Resources Corporation is an example of this. Now, these are just a few trends that we are seeing on the deal side of the equation. This is by no means an exhaustive overview of the developments taking place in the space. There are several ongoing discussions. We're seeing a lot of discussions on the value-based shift from halal to tayyib, a sort of letter of the law versus spirit of the law approach, if you will. How does this shift impact how we approach Islamic sustainable finance and Islamic finance in general? The role of innovation in driving funding for sustainable finance is also being discussed. Do currently available taxonomies adequately address sector-specific transition needs? Sustainable investing is a substantial part of the transition equation. What is the role of the asset management sector in driving funding towards social causes? Sustainability-linked products is arguably a more progressive product offering compared to the vanilla sustainable assets. What options do the development of these products offer issuers, and are they properly understood? Throughout the rest of our forum, our speakers and panel members will shed light on these pressing issues. And with that, I wish you all a productive forum ahead. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.